This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The commission investigating the July attempt on former President Trump's life paints a damning picture of the Secret Service, says ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
A report by a bipartisan panel of former Homeland Security and law enforcement officials finding the Secret Service has become bureaucratic, complacent, and static, even though risks have multiplied. Then perhaps the most damning statement calling for reform, saying that without reform, another Butler can and will happen.
The former president attends a dinner tonight in New York. Early voting's now underway in 47 states. In Washington, D.C., Vice President Kamala Harris campaigns in Wisconsin today. The Israeli military says it killed three terrorists in Gaza and is now checking to see if one of the three was Yahya Sinwar. It's considered the mastermind of the October 7th attacks. U.S. retail sales climbed last month, up 0.4% compared to August. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The number of absentee ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin is far fewer than 4 years ago. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says there were more than 500 drop boxes in more than 430 communities 4 years ago. Now she can only confirm about 78 of them in 42 communities. Milwaukee and Madison have 14 drop boxes each. Racine has seven. Most places with drop boxes have one. Some unsolicited text messages about voting in Wisconsin are designed to confuse people, not help, so says Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf.
I get very frustrated when these groups send out information and they don't get the facts right because it confuses voters.
You can find the facts at myvote.wi.gov. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Wisconsin Technical College System has released its 2024 five-year graduate follow-up report. It shows the achievements and career outcomes of the 2017-18 graduates. This comprehensive report highlights the significant impact of technical education on graduates' professional lives and the broader community. Key findings show a salary growth, high employment rates. Many graduates have reported significant career advancements, with 72% saying their technical college education was important to achieving higher-level positions within their organizations. The report highlights that 83% of graduates remain in Wisconsin, contributing to the local economy and community development. Their skills and expertise are vital to the state's workforce and economic stability. And 85% of respondents expressed satisfaction with their technical college education, agreeing they would recommend technical education to others entering their field. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
It's the Bucks and the Mavericks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Dallas to take on the Mavericks in their final preseason game tonight. Chris Middleton had surgery on both his ankles in the offseason. Was he able to practice yesterday? Doc Rivers.
No, we didn't even think about it. No, he did everything else, all our skeleton stuff. He did some one-on-one yesterday live, which was really good. So he's getting there.
Not going to play tomorrow.
No, he won't play.
NFL, the Packers' new place kicker, Brandon McManus, worked out with the team, looked good in practice. The Packers host the Texans Sunday. College football. Badgers quarterback Braden Locke talked about facing another Big Ten rival this Saturday, the Northwestern Wildcats.
In this league, you really can't look ahead or look back. If we've seen anything this college football season, it's that any given Saturday, somebody can beat somebody. So we got to respect our opponent. We got to respect what they do. And you know, the best way for us to do that is by preparing really well. We've got to go out and play a good game if we want to win on Saturday.
That's Wisconsin quarterback Braden Locke. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and breezy today with a high in the low 60s this afternoon. Tonight it'll be clear with a low dropping into the low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 28.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepolsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Dom Salvia.
Matt Rothschild here. I'm guest hosting on the next Dom Salvia show, and I'm going to be joined by Angela Lang of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Please tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Mother.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, and we just had a great discussion and conversation with my good friend, award-winning journalist James Causey of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Luke, so if someone wanted to read the article, how could they get that information?
Yeah, as you shared and James shared last hour, you can go over to the Milwaukee Journal website, or to make it easy for you, you can head over to the Civic Media website, check out the first hour podcast for your show, the Earl Ingram Show, and I've linked it into the description on that first hour's podcast for today. So quick and easy, you can go to the Earl Ingram Show's podcast page, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever, or the Civic Media website, and you can click on it there.
So before we get into my next guest, I want to do a little rendition, Luke, if it's all right.
Go for it.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong. All right. I want to welcome my next guest, and he is Bill Carroll. He is with Teamsters Joint Council 39. He is the president of the Milwaukee-based Teamsters Joint 39 Executive Board. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Morning, Earl. How are you doing today?
Do you know anything about Solidarity Forever?
I absolutely do. I've been living it for the last 40 years as a Teamster.
So I am a union man. I spent 34 years with the Smith Steelworkers, 1906. That's been now almost 18 years since I've retired. But you know what? I'm still a union man. So why is it that this fraternity of unions and being a member of a union so strong and so important?
Well, once you live it, Earl, and you know as well as I do, you understand the importance of collective bargaining, of getting together with your coworkers and sitting down to the table and hammering out an agreement that works out for everybody.
You know, you guys, the Teamsters, are as powerful a union as there is in this country. And if you go back decades, long before you and I even were engaged or involved in unions, the Teamsters have a history of backing Democratic candidates for decades. And wherever the Teamsters vote went, it certainly had major impact. in the outcome of elections. Has that faded much?
I think it's the same today. But, you know, unfortunately, there's a little different dynamic at play this election cycle.
Well, so one of the reasons why I think it's important that we have this conversation is that the national Teamsters had always come out and supported the Democratic candidate. As far as I could remember, the Teamsters always stood with Democrats. And something happened differently this time around. I was at the Republican convention, and the president of the National Teamsters spoke at the Republican convention. And he clearly stated, I never will forget it, that he was not going to, that the National was not going to endorse a candidate this time around. He certainly wasn't speaking for everybody, was he?
No, absolutely not, Earl. We had already made our mind up, well, not before the Republican convention, but I can tell you right around the time of the Democratic convention, our local union executive board and our joint council executive board were prepared for a non-endorsement. Both of those executive boards were unanimous in their support of Vice President Harris and Governor Walz. And we knew that if and when the decision was going to be made public, that the general or that the general executive board of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters was not going to endorse, we were prepared to immediately step in and make our endorsements known.
So let's talk about, again, if you're just joining us, 855-752-4842. My guest is Bill Carroll, who serves as president of the Milwaukee-based Teamsters Joint Council 39 Executive Board, which unanimously endorsed Kamala Harris and Tim Walz's campaign. You clearly are aware of, you said you've been involved in this now for 40 years. You clearly understand that only 7% of this nation is comprised of, you know, private unions. And so we're down to 7%. And when we look at what has happened in this nation with the income that people are making, and I remember so well the amount of money that I made and that my union brothers made, and the pension that I'm receiving right now that helps me every month continue to maintain a middle-class lifestyle. What has happened, sir, in your estimation, that we're only down to 7% private union membership in this country? Was that accidental or was that by design?
I think that's by design, by corporate America. Obviously, wages have not kept up with productivity. They've fallen behind rather drastically. And that correlates with the erosion of union density across the country. You got to remember, our ability to organize new members is also hinged on the laws that we have to work under. And that's one of the reasons why we made the endorsement that we did, because it's clear that the policies of Harris and Walz are there to help increase union membership as a vehicle for to address the inequality that exists today, between corporations, billionaires, and the working class.
Bill, when you talk about bargaining, collective bargaining, those of us who are union people know the importance of that. And yet here's a person who's running for president who wants to do away with the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board. Why? And let people know the impact of what would happen if Donald Trump becomes president and he does away with the NLRB?
Well, okay, so the NLRB was created back in 1935 as part of the Wagner Act. And that was put in to achieve labor peace. If the NLRB is done away with, it's back to the Wild West for labor. You're going to see mass movements in the streets. You're going to see a lot of craziness going on. You know, we read about things like the Bayview Massacre and these massive demonstrations in these cities because there was no structure at the time and set of laws that kept things under control. You know, like it, the NLRB or not, they do serve a function. And one of the primary functions that it serves is to cultivate a level of labor peace.
So let me ask you, clearly, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have had dialogue and conversations, and even President Joe Biden in working with the Teamsters during their run and during the time that they've been in office. Have you had conversations and dialogue, with former President Donald Trump? Has he contacted you guys at all and saying that he supports, the Teamsters or any union?
Well, to my understanding, he did pay a visit to the IBT a few months ago. And there was a roundtable that was comprised of rank and file members and union officials. Apparently, he didn't do so well because he didn't get the endorsement. The same thing could be said for Vice President Harris. But again, I'm not really sure what was behind all of that. But I can tell you the difference between the two candidates is quite stark. And I think Vice President Harris will be a terrific president for organized labor moving forward.
You know, Bill, it is good to hear you say that. Look, unions and union members aren't all the same. If you are a member of a union, it doesn't mean that you have to walk goose step with what the union says. You don't lose your autonomy and your ability to agree or disagree because you're a member of a union. Nobody muzzles you. You have a right to your own independent thoughts. Is that correct, sir?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we've got a pretty robust field program. I'm actually just coming home from a parking lot visit at one of our facilities in Oshkosh. And, we're there telling them who we believe will be the best president. We give them reasons why. And they're free to vote for whoever they want to. From our perspective, it's very simple, though. The person that we believe is going to lead this country in a better direction for working people is Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And in my mind, from a labor perspective, there's no question about that.
Our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. My guest, once again, is Bill Carroll. He is with Teamsters Joint Council 39, and they endorse Vice President and presidential candidate Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. You can join us 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Questions you might hear a lot this fall. Will my team make the playoffs? How much snow are we getting this winter? And whatever happened to Tammy Baldwin? After 25 years in D.C., Baldwin sides with the extreme left. Baldwin voted to give nearly $1 billion in COVID relief money to criminals in prison, even the Boston Marathon bomber. That's nuts. And she supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters to admit biological men who claim to be women. Baldwin even backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. So here's one more question. Now that Baldwin's gone so far left, why should we keep her in the Senate? It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I'm joined by Bill Carroll. He is the president of the Executive Board of Teamsters Council 39. So let me ask you, Bill, I remember not so long ago that the Teamsters were going through a heck of a time with their pensions. And there was talk about cutting their pensions in half. As a person who receives a pension, I couldn't begin to imagine something that we had bargained for and made concessions in other areas to maintain, to make sure that we had this pension that was negotiated, in most instances guaranteed. The Teamsters were up against a reality that I couldn't begin to even imagine, possibly having their pensions cut in half. And it was the Joe Biden, you know, time in office that helped usher in the Butch Lewis Act. Let's talk a little bit about the Butch Lewis Act and why that had to come into existence and why Teamsters were facing, many of those in my age demographic, losing part of their pensions.
Yeah, so what happened, particularly with Central States, and that's it, that was the big pension fund in this area, they were looking at going insolvent. Probably right around this time, if something wouldn't have happened. The issue was out there for a good 10 years before anything happened with it. These retirees formed a group to protect their pensions. They went and tried to talk with Trump while he was in office. He gave them a bunch of false promises, said he was going to do something. He didn't do a damn thing. Same thing with Senator Johnson. They talked with him. They gave these people false hope, and the one who really delivered for them was Joe Biden. Among the first things that he did when he got in office was to take care of that issue. And just to remind everybody, that was voted on party lines with the tie-breaking vote cast by Vice President Harris, who saved those pensions.
You know, not only did they save the pensions, and for people who don't know, as you stated, these are older people who, you know, in my age demographic, 70 and above, who, and many of them in their 80s, who you know, are struggling. And, you know, you think we have enough money put away, but the longer you live, you know, the more stretched you are. But your pension was always there as a safety net. And the fact that they were up against this, and I remember that the pain that was people were experiencing, thinking that this was not going to be fixed. And that's why I said Joe Biden, because Joe Biden was the guy who made it happen. But there's also a PRO Act that Congress passed during Joe Biden's presidency. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, so the PRO Act, it hasn't fully gotten through Congress yet, but that's going to enable unions to actually organize workers who want to be organized. The way current labor law is designed, it makes it extremely difficult for unions to, for workers to get together to form a union. There's so many roadblocks that can be put up, captive audience meetings, the penalties for labor law violations by anti-union employers are very minimal. They're less than a slap on the wrist. So there's enforcement mechanisms in the PRO Act. There's timelines. There's a mandatory contract deadlines in order to achieve a contract. There's a lot of great bells and whistles in the PRO Act that will enable workers who want to form a union in their workplaces to form one with the assistance of, you know, various labor unions.
So it is safe to say that historically, Democrats have supported unions. Republicans have been anti-union. I know that that's been the case in my life. Has that changed?
Yeah, I don't believe it's changed. I think there's some frustration when Democrats have had the opportunity to make some headway. They hadn't taken advantage of it. So I think there's a little bit of angst there with some people. But I can tell you, and you know as well as I do here, Earl, in the state of Wisconsin, the last 15 years, there's been nothing but contempt exhibited by Republicans in the state of Wisconsin towards organized labor. There's nothing nice about what they've tried to do to organize labor. I can tell you in 2011, the Teamsters had over 30,000 members in the state of Wisconsin. After Act 10 and after Right to Work, we're down to about 15,000. And that is solely due to Republican policy in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, Bill, the hypocrisy in all of that. And I remember when that took place, I had a conversation with then Governor Scott Walker, and I challenged him on the air. And I said, you guys are anti-union unless it's police and fire. And so to omit police and fire, but to condemn all other unions is hypocrisy. And I remember his response was weak and feeble. But unions are unions, and you can't separate those that you like and don't like, which is what the Republicans have done. So, Bill, hang on a second. We've got callers who want to join in the conversation. You got a couple minutes?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, 855-752-4842. I'm joined by Bill Carroll. He is with Teamsters Joint Council 39, and he is the president of the executive board. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
All three election workers in Westfield quit this week. About 800 people live in Westfield, which is just northeast of the Dells. They reportedly quit because of a dispute over a local recall election last month. The resignations come as early in-person voting begins next week. The Marquette County Deputy Clerk will run Westfield's November election. Halloween fun is not far away wherever you are in Wisconsin. State Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers says hardcore thrill seekers might try out Nina's Burial Chamber.
And that is a fully immersive experience where it actually simulates being buried alive. It's 80,000 play pit balls that fill a prop mine shaft.
You can find out more at travelwisconsin.com. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Association for Home Health Care has announced that State Senator Howard Markline has been recognized as a champion of home health care for the 2023-24 state legislative session. This designation is meant to publicly identify legislators for their exceptional work to promote the expanded utilization of skilled home health care as an effective, affordable option for post-acute medical care. As the Senate co-chair of the Joint Committee on Finance, Senator Markline led the approval of the fiscal year 2023-25 budget that included a continuation of the Federal American Rescue Plan Act, Home and Community-Based Services, 5% increase from April 1, 2024 through June 30, 2025. This rate increase has helped home health agencies attract and retain a qualified workforce and ensure access to care. The Lone Rock Farmers Market will be held today from 3 to 7 at Center Park along Highway 130. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld regrets saying it was the extreme left that killed comedy. He changed his position on his polarizing words and said they aren't true, according to Variety. Seinfeld appeared on Tom Papa's Breaking Bread podcast and equated his statements about political correctness in comedy to moving the gates on a ski hill, which barely made sense. Speaking of the filthy rich, if you haven't spent all your Christmas money already on autographed Bibles, gold hoop shoes, and cheap watches, Taylor Swift has announced that she will release new products before Black Friday to help people with their Christmas shopping and put a little walking around money in her own pocket. Swift will release an anthology edition of her latest album, Tortured Poets Society, on CD and vinyl, as well as an Eras tour book. The vinyl album will run you $60, but that price includes a 12x12 poster. It may sound tiny, but it's actually the perfect size for any tree fort. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and breezy today with a high in the low 60s this afternoon. Tonight it'll be clear with a low dropping into the low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by my Thursday guest host, Tom Paulswitz, and our special guest, Joe Fox, from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, talking about the youth vote ahead of the election.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
What you do.
Ed. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I'm joined by Bill Carroll, president of the Wisconsin Teamsters Joint Council 39. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A., thank you, Tom. You say what? Tom, are you there?
Yeah, we got Tom here. Yep, we can hear you, Tom. We're all set.
Okay. All right. Earl, first off, you look like a 50-year-old man today. I don't know what you're doing, but you're like Benjamin Button. You're just taking those ears off like crazy.
Hey, I washed my face and brushed my teeth. But go ahead.
There you go. All right. Second, I was wondering if Bill, you're awesome, by the way, and I believe in unions and I believe in democracy in the workplace. I was wondering if when you talk about the right to work, if you could actually frame it as the right to work for less, because that's really what it is. When people hear the right to work, they think, oh, you have the right to a job, which it's really the right to work for less because you get paid less and you're not as supported as much. So I was wondering if you could, maybe just keep that mental note in your head. Also, my second question is, I watched Alex Wagner on MSNBC when she did a union hall, trying to get the pulse of the unions there. And the older guys really knew what the strength of the union was. And the younger guys were saying, their number one issue is immigration. And I'm thinking to myself, well, first off, if you're in a strong union, you're going to have a better shot that someone that's an immigrant isn't going to get your job. But I guess my question is, are you guys actually educating the younger guys in the union about how great a union is and, why it is that they're voting for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, or why they, should vote in their best interest rather than picking up some talking point from right-wing hate radio or, Fox so-called news?
Hey, Tom, it's a great, great question. It really is. Thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. I didn't hear any kind of question because I got cut off and put back on.
Yeah, I was just saying, sorry. We're doing a little technical dance here with the phone lines this morning, Earl.
Okay, so Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, so what the question Tom was asking is are you educating your membership? Because the older union members know the importance of unions, and younger members, for whatever reason, don't seem to understand the magnitude of what being in a union really is. I noticed it towards the end of my time in Smith Steelworkers, 1906, younger people coming in and not knowing the history. Do you guys teach the history of unionism to your workers?
Yeah, I guess the short answer is yes. As a matter of fact, we're having a member seminar in Wausau on Saturday and another one on Sunday. We do a lot of outreach to our membership to try to educate them on the importance of unions, collective bargaining. We've got a really robust field program. Like I said, I'm just coming back from a parking lot visit in Oshkosh where our guys are educating our members if they want to have those discussions about the importance of their role in the union as a member. And you know what? Thinking back as a new union member way back in the 1980s, it took a while for me to understand the value of it too, but it doesn't take too long, because when you're working under the thumb of a certain employers, you get to understand the value of being in a union very quickly.
I can tell you, Bill, in my 34-year career at A.O. Smith, the A.O. Smith Corporation, if it wasn't for Smith Steelworkers 19806, I wouldn't be enjoying the pension for the past 19 years that I enjoy, because it was the union and the protections of the union that saved me. I walked into the plant as an 18-year-old snotty-nosed kid. And so, that union protected me. and allowed me to grow up. That's the part of it that I think that most people don't know. That would have never happened for me if I wasn't in that union.
Yeah, absolutely, Earl. You know, a couple things. People always think the unions are there just to try to get the workers more money, and you can't understate the value of a grievance procedure and a just cause provision in a labor agreement. That's true union security, and that's it doesn't matter if the employer has an open door policy, because if you have a grievance procedure, you get to kick that door open if you need to.
Absolutely. Well said, Bill. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
So I've got Mike's question for you, Earl and Bill, because I can't have two phone callers on at the same time right now, I guess.
Okay, it's one
thing tying my hands behind my back. But Mike in Kenosha wants to ask the question to both you, Earl, and Bill. If there's so many organized efforts out there like chambers of commerce and business interests, business groups that are able to go and work together for their interests, why do unions see such pushback and blowback to when they try to organize and advocate for labor and working people?
Bill, I've got my answer. I'll let you respond first.
Okay, well, you know, obviously these chambers of commerce, Wisconsin Manufacturing Association, they all understand the value of associating and getting together, because you get more power by doing that. And that's exactly why corporations and employers don't want that, because they know that their employees can overpower them and hold them accountable to their promises. So, you know, that's why there's the pushback. And it's interesting, because we've tried to organize some companies that really profess to be rather progressive, but when it comes down to it and we want to organize their workers, their true colors really come out.
You know, Bill and Mike, I would say this. When you see that about 35% of you know, public unions, that's teachers, police, fire, people who work for the city, people who work, you know, for the county, you know, people who are in government jobs, you know, they have unions, and they're protected. But they've always wanted to push back against the private unions, which is the average person. And that average person who, you know, again, when I was a young man, 36-38% of this nation had unions, and a strong middle class lifestyle came from that. And when all we hear now is about the continued separation of those with wealth and these people becoming billionaires and the corporations making more and more money, all those things have been at the expense of labor and of the people. And so the people today who are working and doing the same things that I was doing, Bill, when I was a young man, working just as hard, are not being rewarded. You know, I know when I left the job that I was on, Bill, I had 6 weeks of paid vacation. I had 7 personal days. I had a week off in addition for Christmas, 3 days, 4 days off for Thanksgiving, and all those other days and time. Health insurance, Bill, that I have taken advantage of and my family has taken advantage of. A pension. Most of those things are gone. And so people are left in the lurch and they struggle because they don't have those opportunities that unions, people fought to give me the benefits that I had, people before me. But it was the union that made that possible. That's why the companies no longer want people to be in unions, because the companies would have to pay their fair share. Bill, am I so far off the mark?
You nailed it, Earl. I mean, that's exactly what it is. Look, when workers band together and they want to bargain collectively, that's how you achieve fairness in our society, really. Employers, you know, their playbook is divide and conquer, because you know if you can divide people up and shave them off one at a time, it makes everybody weaker. And you know, it's your basic predator and prey design, right? You call the weakest off, and eventually you get the whole pack. You know, it's really clear the benefits of unions to working people. And especially if you work under a union contract, you get to realize that pretty quickly, that when you are in a brother and sisterhood of workers, you at least have a level of equality with your employer that you can maintain your dignity over.
You know, Bill, I recall as a young man when there would be strikes and other union people who weren't even affiliated with the company would not cross the picket line. That's the strength that the unions had, and it's why there was a strong middle class in this country and when I was a young man, because solidarity didn't just mean the union that you were a part of. It was unions everywhere. And so companies knew that. And you know, Bill, companies were still making profit. They were making, it wasn't like the companies didn't remain in business. Many of these major corporations in the state of Wisconsin that were here for a century or more, and had union workers, were still making profits that kept them profitable. And so as they were doing what they were doing. But when people don't know that history, and that's why it's so critically important that the history of the unions be taught even to younger people, whether they're in unions or not, because there's still people in this country who think that unions are for weak people, Bill. They're for people who are lazy and shiftless, and they don't know that if they had only the protection of what the union offers, their lives would improve dramatically. That middle-class lifestyle that died when they destroyed unions would come back to life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've heard the stories, too, that the unions only protect the weak. Look, you know, you as a worker, you never know when your number comes up on the Wheel of Fortune, right? And when the boss decides to target you for discipline or whatever, it could be something as simple as maybe standing up for yourself in a meeting when somebody's treating you unfairly, and then all of a sudden you're targeted. You're not the weakest guy there. You're just the guy who might have wanted to stand up and maintain some dignity in a certain situation, and then you end up getting the business from the boss. But that's what the union's there to protect against. You know, so nobody's immune from what can happen through their employment. You know, when things are good, they're good. But again, you never know when your number's coming up.
Hey, Bill, hang on. We've got one more segment, 855-752-4842. Bill, I'm enjoying our conversation so much. It takes me back to a time as a young, you know, when I was a young man. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Questions you might hear a lot this fall. Will my team make the playoffs? How much snow are we getting this winter? And whatever happened to Tammy Baldwin? After 25 years in D.C., Baldwin sides with the extreme left. Baldwin voted to give nearly $1 billion in COVID relief money to criminals in prison, even the Boston Marathon bomber. That's nuts. And she supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters to admit biological men who claim to be women. Baldwin even backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. So here's one more question. Now that Baldwin's gone so far left, why should we keep her in the Senate? It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome to Flashback Favorites. I'm Music Mike. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My guest is Bill Carroll, and he is the president of Wisconsin Teamsters Joint Council 39. Hey, Bill, I want to say to you, sir, thank you for, hanging on the line this long, because I think our conversation is so critically important. I happen to believe that the return of the middle class in this nation, the only way that's going to happen is for it to be ushered in through the return of private unions. And as you've stated, you are going around and others are trying to unionize people in this country, and the pushback and the people who are preventing that happen to be Republicans, and I, for the life of me, I understand why, but I think the very people who need to know the truth need to hear it. And so this conversation has not had enough over the airways, and so for that, I'm appreciative of you taking the time out with us this morning.
Well, I'd like to join, or I'd be happy to join you anytime, Earl, because it is important work. I would like to give, I know you're talking about labor history and educating people about labor. Wisconsin has a great website, wisconsinlaborhistory.org. I'm not a member of that board or anything like that, but they got a great website if you want to learn about Wisconsin labor history.
You know, Bill, where else can 18, 19-year-olds who, don't really know, like I was, didn't know what they wanted to do, and you wound up on a job? I had one job, Bill, from 18 to 52 years old, one job. And it seems unbelievable now, but once you join the union, and barring, calamity, now many of the people who are Teamsters, if they started young, Bill, chances are they're gonna have one job.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be the same thing for me, Earl. I started at UPS in 1984. If I hadn't shot my mouth off and got elected to union office, I'd still be driving a package car, picking good money.
Well, see, and that's what the people don't know. People see guys driving UPS trucks, and they say, oh, man, I wouldn't want that job. But if they find out the guy driving the UPS truck is making $26, $28 an hour, and if you factor in benefits, he's up to $60 an hour. I mean, come on.
Earl, let me correct you. A 4-year driver at UPS driving a package car is making $45 an hour, and their health and pension package is worth about $27 an hour.
Well, it goes to show just how long I've been out of the loop. Hey, yeah. You know, maybe I need to quit radio and join the Teamsters.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I still have my name on a seniority list, Earl.
and it's not because UPS is benevolent.
No. Although they are a pretty good company, but they're not easy to work for. You know, they protect their company very aggressively. So, but, you know, I got to mention one other thing, too, as far as the young people. There is cause for hope. We just organized a group called Blick Art Supply down in the Third Ward, a group of 5 or 6 probably under 25-year-old people. And, you know, so they're getting it. We also have an active organizing drive with Krause Funeral Home, the funeral directors and embalmers. That's an industry first in Milwaukee. We're still trying to get a first contract. They're being a little bit obstinate as far as getting to the bargaining table, but we're confident we're going to get a new group there and a new industry.
You know, Bill, I always say, people ask me why I'm still fighting. And I say to them, as long as these young people who I see and who unfortunately struggle only because of the time that they're born, I'm going to keep fighting for them, because
absolutely,
the unions made my life easy. I was able to live a middle-class lifestyle and live the American dream, and it wasn't because I was so smart and so bright. Well, maybe it was because I joined the union at 18 years of age, and the rest of it is history.
It certainly helped, and we owe it to the generation of new workers to let them know the value of collective bargaining and getting together and forming unions.
Hey, Bill, great conversation, man. Be safe on the roads. We got to get you back again.
I really enjoyed it, brother. Anytime.
All right. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong. All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. It's been a blast. Luke, man, good to be back connected with you.
Always a pleasure, Earl.
Yeah. Up next, Jane Madnair and Greg Bach. Madnair on air. Tomorrow's Friday. Hey, enjoy the rest of today. See you guys tomorrow.
It's the best thing for you, but it's the worst that could happen.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Madnair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the president of the Human Rights Campaign joins us at 10:33. J.R. Radcliffe in hour number 2, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Madnair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.